This is a kind of offering. Through offering you can accumulate. So now sometimes the offerings, when you are going to offer to Buddhas and Bodhisattvas or to your root guru, first you just collect all the things in front of you, the beautiful things, and then you just offer it to all the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas. After that, the remainings, then you can offer it to the lower realm animals, the living beings who are not so powerful, who don't know anything about the teachings of Buddhas. To them also, if they don't, without, say, because of ignorant, because of lack of faith to Dharma, Buddha Dharma and Sangha, they try to do some sort of harming other living beings because they want something from them. They want to harm other living beings. They want to eat the flesh. They want to drink the blood. They want to eat the bones. So if there are many living beings who want all those things, then the remaining things which you have already offered to your root guru, to all the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas, the remaining things you just feel in your mind that you are giving all those things to those living beings who are suffering too much, who are in search of food, who are in search of things they want. So you just give it to all those, distribute to all those in your mind, so that they will not disturb any living beings, and your debt in your previous lives, if there are a kind, if you have not returned back the loans in your previous lives, you have taken some loans from the banks, some loans from your friend, and you are unable to repay those loans to the owner, and you passed away. So in this life, again, you have to pay for that, because this is a sort of karma. So if this kind of debt are there in your previous lives, then you just offer, you just keep all those things, beautiful things, the remaining of those beautiful things to all those living beings who are in search of that, and offer them. If you offer this way, then your previous debts will be cleared. Then you need not repay it again and again. That is why we face sometimes, because according to the karma, say, cause and effect, in the teachings of cause and effect, karma, actions, if we steal, many people, they say that, I wanted to become rich. Many people, they like to become rich. But if you want to become rich by stealing, by telling something, bad things, and just steal the things from other people, and enjoying yourself, won't become rich. That won't help you, because that is against becoming the rich. Yes, nowadays, because some people, they used to rob the banks, the robberies, they loot, they just steal all things from the bank, and they just destroy many big companies, and they just stole everything and they become rich. Many people are also like that. But it doesn't mean that by stealing they did not become the rich. Not by stealing. But they become rich because they might have done something good in the previous life. they might have given some offering, they might have given some alms to the living beings. They might have offered to Buddhas and Bodhisattvas. Because of that, the result comes in this life, become rich. Now, in this life, he used to steal, rob the banks. Now, he is accumulating bad karmas. Now, this result will come in the near future. If it comes in this life, it's good. But if not, then definitely it will come in the near future lives. That person will have to suffer. Then he will become so poor, the beggars. Now, just see the many beggars are there. Even though we are in the human life, that not all humans are rich. Some are rich, some are poor, some are very poor, some don't have even to eat food. Once in a day, they are unable to eat food. Even one time, they can't eat. So such persons are also there, very poor. That is because they did not practice offerings, because they did not practice giving alms, because they did not practice the bodhicitta, in the actual practice of bodhicitta, there is a generosity. To be generous and offer, give to all other poor beings, and then offer to Buddhas and Bodhisattvas. If you go on practicing that, then normally you will become always rich. Wherever you take birth, you will born in a rich family. If you do this kind of practice of offerings. Now, without practice, you can't become rich. There is nothing. There is no way to become rich. That is why in Tibetan sayings, there is a saying. We say, normally the Buddhists, especially the Tibetan Buddhists, they offer tso. Tso means they do some, they gathered many monks and nuns together, and they put many things to eat, and they put in the altar, and they offer it to Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha. And then they do the pujas, they do the prayers. That means, when you offer tso, when you offer some material, beautiful things to Buddhas and Bodhisattvas, you need money. Without money, you are unable to buy all these things. You need money. So, you buy all these things from the market, and you bring here, and you put in the altar, and then you do the pujas, you offer to Buddhas and Bodhisattvas. After offering, we distribute it, and we used to eat it. It doesn't mean that we just bought these things here and wanted to eat. We are not doing that way. But we do offer this to Buddhas and Bodhisattvas. After offering, we do distribute to all the practitioners and we do eat it. That means we eat it as a blessings from the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas. It's not bread, it is not the apple, it is not the orange, it is not the things, those things which you offered, but they are the blessings. They come as blessings and come to you, and it will bless you, help you to improve your mind, to develop your Buddha nature within yourself. So, when you want to offer tso, you need money to buy all these tsos. But if you are so poor, you are unable to buy even one piece of apple. You don't have any money. You are so poor, you don't have anything to offer to Buddhas and Bodhisattvas. At that time, then there is a saying now. In Tibetan we say that Sampa mena chodang, we say. Sampa mena chodang. We make of these offerings with the use of some flour, the grinded wheat flour, we just make it thaw and then we offer. We make, with the use of flour, we make bread also. So if you don't have sambar, flour, the fried flour, if you don't have that, then offer thaw. This is a proverb. If you don't have flour, offer thaw to Buddhas and Bodhisattvas. It's impossible. If you don't have flour, you can't offer the thaw. Actually, that's the meaning. If you don't have money, offer to Buddhas and Bodhisattvas. Like that. If you don't have apples, offer apples to Buddhas and Bodhisattvas. Now, you just imagine. If you don't have apples, then how you are going to offer Buddha to Buddhas and Bodhisattvas? That means there is a meaning. In the background, there is a meaning. The meaning is, if you are so poor, now you must practice offering. Even though you are unable to offer many, many huge things or many, many dollars or something like that, even though you are unable to offer that way, you just offer one single coin with a pure mind. That means that is more better than offering $1 million without good intention. A person who used to offer $1 million to Buddhas and Bodhisattvas, or to a monk, or to you just donate it in, to building a monastery, $1 million. But your mind is not so pure. You want the name. Your mind, your intention is not pure. If you offer $1 million, yes, there is some result that is really beneficial. It is very good. But because of your pure mind, because of your impure mind, it won't help you too much. That is, now, if you offer only one coin, $1, with a pure mind, without any attachment, if you offer it to Buddha and Buddha Dharma and Sangha, then that offering is far better than offering $1 million. If, because a person who used to offer $1 million, his mind is not so pure. Because of that, it depends upon your pure mind. It depends upon your good intention. So in this way, we normally used to say that practice generosity. This is one of the main actual practice of bodhicitta. So from the very beginning, if you are unable to offer many, many things, you just offer one thing, one flower with a pure mind. And then slowly, without attachment, you just make it bigger and bigger and bigger. And two flowers, three flowers, four flowers, then bunch of flowers. In this way, if you go on increasing your offerings, then it helps you to throw, to cut your attachment. For example, I buy a bunch of flower, and I already, my mind already made that I want to offer it to my root guru. I already made that decision, saying that I will offer it to my root guru. And I bought this flower and I kept in my room first. I like it, very beautiful. I want to keep in my room. But your mind already made that you want to offer it to your root guru. And when your mind already has decided to offer it to your root guru, then your attachment is not so strong here. Because so your mind, you already made a decision to offer it to your root guru. So there's the less the attachment, the bigger the result will be. In this way, if you offer that flower without attachment, then that is a big offering. Now, many people, not one, I'm not saying to all people, but to me also, it is my experience. For example, when I go outside, not in Taiwan, but in Indo, where I stay in Sikkim, when I go outside in the market, we see many poor people there. Many beggars are also there. And I myself, it is my experience. And I wanted to offer, give some money to them. I want to buy a cup of tea and I want to give it to them. But many people are looking to me. If I gave them only 1 rupee, I feel ashamed. I feel ashamed. So I made my mind that, oh, many people are looking, so I gave 10 rupees. But that offering, that giving arm to that poor man is not so good. Because your mind is not so pure. You are not practicing the generosity. You just gave 10 rupees because of many people are looking on you. If you give only 1 rupee, you think that your position goes down. You think that you will become smaller. So that is not a good giving alms. But even if it is 1 rupee, with pure mind, if you made your mind saying that without any attachment, 1 rupee, I have no attachment. And I gave it, even though many people, they used to come and they give 10 rupees, 100 rupees, 1,000 rupees, but I go there and I give only 1 rupee, that is far better than those people who give 100 or 200 rupees without pure mind. So that is one kind of offering. In this way also, you can also do that. Don't think that, oh, someone is looking, so if I pay less, then I will become smaller. Don't think that way. Even if you pay small amount, it doesn't matter. The most important is your intention to be very pure and to be very kind without an attachment. You offer it to Buddha and Bodhisattva, to all the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas, or to your root guru, because he is the inseparable of all the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas. So in that way you can offer now. Now there is one story. Not story, but it is a real story. During the time of Buddha, Buddha Shakyamuni, with his disciples, many disciples, like he's the best true disciples, the most intelligent disciple, Shariputra, the most intelligent in showing the miracles, the Mangalaputra, two best disciples. With them, many arhats, many disciples, they used to sit in a big place in India, and they started offering the limbs. Many sponsors to come there and offer many limbs, thousands and thousands of limbs. And they offered. And at that time, one old lady, Gomi, her name is Gomi or something like that. I don't remember the right name, but there's an old lady. And she happened to pass through that area and she saw that Buddha and Buddha's disciples are sitting there doing some prayers and offering limbs, and all the disciples, many sponsors, they do come and they offer many limbs, butter limbs, in the night. And that old lady wanted to offer one. Offer lamb, but she is so poor that she don't have even one single pie, one single rupee, she don't have one single dollar, she don't have anything. But in her mind, it's burning from her mind, saying that I want to offer one lamb. With pure mind to you, with pure mind. But she don't have anything to buy oil to burn the lambs. She need oil. So she went from shop to shop. She went from door to door, begging one pice. One pice means one rupee, you just say that way also. She don't have anything, but she is asking to those persons, saying that, please give me one rupee. Please give me 1 rupee. In this way, she starts going, asking. She's begging. And everybody, the shopkeeper, they used to ask, what's the use of 1 pie? From 1 pie, you can't get anything to buy. Then they used to ask, what you are going to buy? I want to buy oil. And I want to offer it to Buddha. I want to offer a lamb in front of Buddha. She said that way. And the shopkeeper, they were surprised. It is impossible to get oil with 1 pie. Very difficult to get oil. Then every shopkeeper, they did not give her anything. And then at last she met one shopkeeper and she requested him to give 1 pie so that she can buy oil. She said, and the shopkeeper also asked, what's the use of 1 pie? What you want to do with this 1 pie? And she said, she want to buy oil. But the shopkeeper said, you won't get any oil from 1 pie. So he said that, but I will give you oil. You take it. She became so happy. Without paying money, that shopkeeper gave this kind of small vessel, he gave little bit oil. And she took this oil in front of Buddha, and many, many people are offering there. And she is so poor, she is so dirty even. She may be, because of old age, she seems to be very ugly also. But she can't go in front of Buddha now. She is there, just near the door. She can't go nearby Buddha. She can't go that side. But with pure intention, with full devotion and faith to Buddha and Buddha's disciple, she saw that and she just offered that lamb there. Where other rich people, they used to offer many lamps, thousands and thousands of lamps in front of Buddha, and she offered only one lamp there in the corner of the place. At last, she offered that with pure mind, and then she sits there praying to Buddha. Even though I am unable to offer many things, but I am offering this to you with pure mind. And she prayed and she was sitting there. She don't know how to meditate even. She's a poor lady. But she offered that. And then she went away and all the sponsors, they also went away. And Buddha and Buddha's disciples also, they went away. And early in the morning, Buddha said to his disciples, Shariputra and Mangalaputra, now you go and see whether the lamps are still burning there or not in the morning. And they went there and they want to clean the place now. So they went there and they started cleaning. But they saw there's only one lamp is burning. The smallest lamp is burning still. The big lamps were already finished, exhausted. But the small lamb is still burning there. And then they were surprised to see that. And they started throwing it. Because they want to clean the place now. They want to throw it and the fire is still burning. They were surprised. they started throwing any things and started stopping burning there. But still it is burning there. And they brought water and they threw it on the lamp. Still it is burning there. They were surprised and they went to Buddha. And Buddha said, yes, there is one lamp is burning there. Buddha know everything. So even if you throw whole ocean of this world into that lamp, it won't dissolve, it won't exhaust, it won't die. It will go on burning. Then Buddha's disciple, they request Buddha saying that, what's the reason of that? And Buddha said, Buddha Shakyamuni used to say that that is the offering by the old lady, the poorest lady, who used to offer one small quantity of oil. With a small quantity of oil, she used to offer that burning lamp with a pure intention. Because of the intention, good intention, that cannot be destroyed by anybody else. It will go on burning. And Buddha just gave the predictions, saying that now this lady will, in the near future, she will become Buddha. And Buddha's name is Vaisarichin, something like that. The burning lamps related with that. She was named that, and she will become Buddha in the near future. Buddha just given the predictions. So whatever you are offering, your offering should be with pure mind. If you offer that way, then the offerings will be really extremely vast and it cannot be destroyed by anybody else. The result will be, it can also purify all the defilements, obscurations, two kinds of obscurations, and it can accumulate two kinds of merit and wisdom accomplishment. And in the end, through the offerings, it can also bestow you the result of becoming Sambhogaya Buddha and Dharmagaya Buddha. So these are the benefits. You just imagine, through offerings, it can purify all kind of defilement, obscurations. It can cleanse all kind of frustrations, pains, distractions, whatever in your mind. It can also purify everything. And through that, it can accumulate two kind of accumulation, accomplishment. That is merit and wisdom accomplishment. So these are necessary. So in this way, if your offering, even though it is not so big, not so huge enough, not in a big quantity, but you can offer it with, you can visualize it with immeasurable things that you are going to offer it. If you are offering one flower, you think that not only one flower, and boundless, countless, immeasurable flowers are here and you are offering it. And so, still it is very difficult for us to explain all those beautiful things through the words. It's very difficult to brought into word. But what I mean to say that, you just practice offering to Buddhas and Bodhisattvas whatever you conceive, whatever you think in your mind, something beautiful, something goodness, those things you must offer to Buddhas and Bodhisattvas. But it doesn't mean that when I say that you must offer only good things, only beautiful things, only clean one, it doesn't mean that way that Buddhas like only the clean. Buddha doesn't like the dirty things. It doesn't mean that way. We are offering to him the only the pure things, the good things. Even if we offer all these things, whatever, the dirty or the clean, whatever we are going to offer to the Buddhas, there is no difference at all to him. But you just offer those things which are positive. Because it is a kind of practice. To Buddhas, there is no difference at all, whatever you offer. But to us, it matters. We must offer something which is beautiful, which is very pure. The impure things, the negative things, the dirty things, you just leave it. But you can also visualize that this way, that those dirty things, you just visualize that everything is pure now. If you go on doing that way, that is also useful. Now here, sometimes when we go out for sightseeing, when we go out, then if you are unable to see many beautiful things, then you just turn those dirty things into beautiful things. In that way also, that this is also a kind of practice. Just transform all those dirty things into beautiful things, clean things, so that you just convert everything. For example, where we are here, that this room, you just imagine, this is not a room. But you just think that this is a